As we hear these words of Scripture from Paul as he ministers to the church in Ephesus, let's do a little historical reminder of the setting of these words, that this was a new congregation, a fellowship of believers that Paul wanted to guide along the right path to grow their faith. In this heading from our Pew Bible, it speaks of the previous heading, said the old life and the new, and then we transition to what's called the rules of the new life. Paul is striving to give the people of faith a rule book to live their life by, or more so than a rule book, a guide for their journey to be more centered in the love of Christ. As Jennifer read this morning, it is His gift of love that treasures us as His children and graces us with life. That's the essence of the gospel story. As Paul would often say in his ministry, he said, I come to you knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But even as our faith begins and ends with the gift of life in Christ eternal, Paul also gives us words for a more abundant life even now. We've spoken about that over the last couple of weeks in sermons about how in Christ we not just only have existence without end, but more abundant life. And Paul is giving us today some other ingredients to accompany our life of faith, of family, of work, of relationships in every aspect of our life. So let's dive into these words that Paul offers us as guidance for our journey. He says near the end of today's reading to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now that is certainly a complicated statement by Paul, and one that presents questions for us. What does it mean, right? To grieve the Holy Spirit. There's certainly been debate as long as those words have been written about the full magnitude of what Paul may have been saying. But I think that most scholars, theologians, as we all are, a theologian is nothing more than someone who studies God and is appreciative of God's grace for us. So we are theologians, and as we hear these words, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If we think of that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, we can also think of our earthly parents, our mamas, our daddies, our grandparents. We didn't want to do the things to grieve them, to upset them in our journey of life, right? Hey, some stuff my mama still don't know about to this day. Price Elliott and I talk about, they just feed Ann a little stuff here along the way. They just don't want to overwhelm her with knowing everything. They don't want to grieve her, do they? That is our nature as children. So surely that's at the root of what Paul is saying to us today. Let's don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's strive to do the things that are found within this text as we live out His love in the world around us. Paul gives us great examples of how not to grieve the Spirit. Love this. He says, firstly, he begins by saying, so put away falsehood or speak the truth to our neighbors. He's basically saying, speak the truth in love, because it's really hard to hear verse 25 without also hearing what the other portion of the text says, where it says here, let no evil talk come out of your mouth. This is in verse 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Now let's unpack all that. Let's unpack that together, because first Paul says, speak the truth, be honest, say it, Say what needs to be said. Maybe that's a way we could interpret it, right? You know any of those people that just say, well, I just tell it like it is. And usually instead of them telling it like it is, they're really just telling it the way they see it. And they suppose that everybody sees it their way. So in some ways, we could take what Paul is saying where he says, well, speak the truth. And we could be commissioned and feel that we have the authority to just tell it like it is. But we have to read that verse of Paul with what he says in 29 as well. Let nothing come out of your mouth unless it is for building up. Wow, that's a hard calling, isn't it? So to me, as we unpack these, if we're going to speak the truth, but we're also going to build up, then I think Paul's call to us is this, church, to speak the truth in love. In love. Sometimes it's not so much only what we say, Randall, but it's how we say it, right? That helps us to speak the truth in love. You know, I remember I've shared this story with some of you before when my little Luke was playing baseball, and now he's a grown man, taller than me, has more facial hair than Paul Bunyan, and he was playing little baseball, and we were watching him and his team, and Monya and I were sitting with another parent, and some other kids came up and just stood right along the fence. They blocked our view, and you know, it was, they didn't notice us, I don't think, but they weren't being very considerate. They were bouncing around and had the whole view blocked. And the other parent said, should we tell them to move? And Monya and I looked at each other and said, yeah, I think so. Well, she stood up, put that hand on that hip in full mama mode and blessed them out one side and down the other, told them how inconsiderate they are, this, that, and everything. I wanted to melt and crawl under the chair. See, I had no intention of her asking them to move in the way she did. It wasn't just what she said. It was how she said it. Friends, may we strive to embody what Paul is saying to us today. Yes, as people of the faith, let's love those around us, right? Our family, our friends, those students under our tutelage, Vince, to be honest and embrace what Paul said, to speak the truth, but may we always do it in love to build them up and not tear them down. Monya and I have been watching this new television show, Ted Lasso. It's a little off color, so y'all don't quote your preacher saying he watched that. Don't hold it against me now. It's pretty graphic, but it's kind of funny. And part of that story that we've been in grasp with, there's a player named Jamie who was a hot shot all-star. Tommy, he was the best player on the team, but the worst attitude on the team. He was critical of everybody else. He didn't build them up. He tore them down, Lynn. He was just like a cancer on the team. Do y'all know any people like that? Don't be quoting folks' names, but we're just preaching here a moment. And Jamie, what is found out as you go along the story, is he acted like that because that's what he was taught. His dad treated him that way. You see, so often, friends, as we know, people who hurt people are often people who are hurting. May we strive in every way we can to represent Christ in every aspect of life so that we build up those around us even as we grow them in the grace that we know. Isn't that at the heart of what Paul says today? It's hard. This isn't easy. It's not easy to speak truth in love, is it? It's much more tempting to just tell it like it is. But Paul hammers us with the conviction of the scriptures today, Clint, when he says this, may you be forgiving and loving as God has been to you. You see, this call of faith is nothing more. This radical love of going beyond ourselves, Kathy, is simply practicing and sharing what we've received. Paul also says this in his commission to us. He says, be imitators of Christ. You know, that's what the world needs. Now, more than ever, we need a little more Christ in our relationships and a little less division and tearing down. Paul says this. How about this? He really throws us a lot of curveballs in this writing today. He says this, once again, kind of a contradictory statement in verse 26. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't make room for the devil. Be angry, but do not sin. That's the translation there. Some translations say, in your anger, do not sin. But there's some realism, I think, to what Paul is saying. He knows we at times are going to be angry. Right? That's human nature. We all are going to be upset at times. But I think Paul, once again, is pushing us to be challenged to let our actions transcend our emotions. In other words, just as we speak the truth, but are committed to do so in love, even as our anger, we don't let it control us. We transcend that temptation to let it control us. You know, I remember back several years ago studying the writings of Thich Nhat Hanh, a Buddhist monk who is an expert in relationships, cooling the flames of anger, because Han once was engulfed with great anger himself. Doesn't that oftentimes make us well qualified to teach others when we've been through hard experiences, when we've been plagued? You know, I've heard it said some of the ones who are most against smoking are ones who used to smoke. They knew what it did to them and they want to encourage others. Thich Nhat Hanh is a great proponent of how to not allow anger to control your lives. You know what he says? Similar to our text today where it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Han said, if you'll give your anger 24 hours before you respond to it, 24 hours to process it, to dialogue with yourself before you address the one who's angered you, he said, there can be true reconciliation. You know, I started trying to practice that. And it's hard at times. It's hard when somebody's upset you and I say, I'm going to at least give it 24 seconds. Or minutes. But when I truly get it right, y'all, I've practiced it. Let's put this aside. Because, Doc, we can still be mad tomorrow, can't we? We can still express our anger tomorrow if we're still upset about it. But you know what I found? When I'm willing to embrace that desire to wait some time before I express my anger, usually what I was so mad about wasn't worth a hill of beans after I give it a little time. Have y'all ever experienced that? Sometimes our emotions or our actions can get ahead of us. Cool the flames. Allow room for the Spirit to bring healing in your spirit and soul and in that of the other. Now what he's saying, let's don't ignore it. Let's don't act like it didn't happen. But if we can combine the teachings of Paul today, that even in our anger, if we can express, I'm upset about this, I'm not ready to talk about it right now, we can address that later. You see, that keeps us from saying those words of destruction at time that can tear apart a relationship. May we, in every way we can, embody Paul's call today to speak the truth, but always in love. You know, as we continue to journey with the results of COVID-19 in our community and in our region, There are many people that are expressing intense emotions from multiple perspectives, right? I saw an article this week in the Commercial Appeal. Someone, a medical professional, said she was angry that the emergency room was filled and she was unable to provide the care for all the people who were hurting because there were some who'd chosen not to receive the vaccine. That was her anger. And then on the other side, I have friends who are angry because the school districts, our governments, are trying to tell them what to do. There is anger from both perspectives and all sides. Friends, as we strive to speak the truth in love, as your pastor today, I say to you, don't let the anger drive your decisions of how to respond to this virus. Do this. Seek the scriptures. Prayerfully search your heart and soul. Trust the medical professionals. And in every way you can, make the decision that you have peace about that will be most reflective of God's love through you for your family and the world around you. Amen. All right, let's share together in prayers as we lift up with one another and for one another.